Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 18, which is entitled Battles Over Strategic Territory. And our objectives are this. Upon completion of this lesson, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You'll be able to identify Satan's strategies against the physical body. You'll be able to summarize the spiritual counter strategies for victory in the physical body. You'll be able to explain Satan's strategies of using human personalities to war against believers. You'll be able to summarize and counter strategies for victory over human personalities which war against believers. You'll be able to identify Satan's strategies against the family. You'll be able to summarize spiritual counter strategy for victory in the family. You'll be able to identify Satan's strategies in financial and material realm and summarize spiritual counter strategies for victory in the financial and material realm. Our key verse today is found in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Introduction. In previous chapters, we focused on the major attacks of the enemy on the mind, the tongue, your spiritual walls, and the combat zone of the world and the flesh. This chapter continues the study of specific targets of the enemy, focusing on the strategic territories of the physical body, the family, finances, and attacks through human personalities. Strategies of Satan, physical attacks. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." So because your body is the temple of God's Spirit, it will be attacked by Satan through various means. One is sickness. Sickness is in the world because of the original sin of Adam and Eve. Although all sickness is in the world because of sin, it does not mean everyone who's suffering is sick because of their own sin. The Bible reveals various reasons for sickness. The first and perhaps the most obvious is illness caused by Satan. Satan attempts to afflict the body just as he attempts to afflict the soul and spirit. Your body is no more immune to his attacks than your spirit is to discouragement, condemnation, etc. But illness can also be used as a chastisement to deal with sin. For an example, you see the story of Miriam in Numbers chapter 12. In one healing Jesus performed during his earthly ministry, he said to the recipient, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." And that was John 5:14. His disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him." So an illness for the glory of God is one caused by Satan by which God uses it for his glory. And when physical healing comes through prayer, this type of illness is a direct attack by Satan. When counter strategies for victory are applied, this physical attack can actually bring glory to God. An illness is not caused by sin or Satan or a chastisement. Illness may result from the breaking of natural laws. For example, you may become ill because you do not eat properly, or you probably will break your leg if you jump from the top of a coconut tree. Tempting you to break natural laws is an indirect attack of Satan on your body. He tempts you to eat improperly and not take care of your body because he knows that it will result in an illness which will hinder your effectiveness for God. Exhaustion. Satan also attacks the body through exhaustion, which results from being too busy or working too hard. When you're extremely tired physically, Satan takes advantage and launches spiritual attacks. Satan came to Jesus when he was exhausted from 40 days of fasting in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. When Elijah was tired from the great spiritual exploits, he became so discouraged that he wanted to die. And that was in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. Another one is death. Although physical death must come to all men until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan attempts to cause premature death. He will tempt people to commit suicide. He will also make you fearful of illness or accidents which could result in death. Another is abuse. Satan also tempts people to abuse their physical bodies by putting substances such as drugs and alcoholic beverages. He knows that such toxic substances can result in illness, mental damage, and death. Spiritual counter strategies and victory over physical attacks. When you're ill, seek the Lord to determine the cause of your illness. Have you violated a natural law which resulted in your illness? For example, have you been eating improperly or drinking bad water? Have you been abusing your body by putting toxic substances such as cigarette smoke into your system? Have you violated natural laws? God can still heal you, but you should use more wisdom in the future. Remember that your body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit. Stop breaking natural laws and take better care of your body. This is also important to remember in the case of exhaustion. Jesus called his disciples to rest when they were exhausted from their busy ministry work. And that was found in Mark chapter 6, verse 31. When Elijah was tired and depressed, he rested under a tree, and God sent an angel to him with physical food. Elijah waited until he received a new touch from God, and his physical strength had been renewed before going on to a new challenge in his ministry. And that's found in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 4 through 8. When illness results in chastisement for sin, it's not caused by Satan, and binding the power of the enemy will do no good. Only repentance and a return to God will bring relief. In Hosea 6:1, it says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up." In Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17, it says, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds." And that's found in Jeremiah 30, 17. And in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, it says, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And in Psalms 103:3, it says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." And that's Psalms 103:3. So in regard to physical attacks caused by Satan, it's important to remember that as a believer, God is in control of your life. Satan cannot touch you physically nor take your life without the knowledge of God. You can read Job chapters 1 and 2, which verify these facts. The power of God is greater than that of Satan, and God, who has made the human body, has the power to heal that body. So you want to claim these promises for healing when you experience physical attacks which are from Satan. In Malachi chapter 4, verses 2, it says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and we being dead to sins shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And in Isaiah 53:5, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." That's Isaiah 53:5. And in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." When Satan attacks you physically, you can go ahead and call for the prayers of other believers, including elders in the church and those with the spiritual gift of healing. The scriptures state several different scriptures about those with gifts of healings. In 1 Corinthians 12:9, it says, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:28, it says, and God hath set some in the church, then gifts of healings. And then in James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, if anyone is sick among you, let him call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So physical death is also a part of the process of life until the end of time as we know it. It should not be feared by believers, for we have a promise of eternal life. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, it says, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? In 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So Satan cannot take the life of a believer before the set time for his death, as illustrated by the story of Job. God does not overrule the human will. However, if a person is tempted by Satan to commit suicide and yields to that temptation, God will not overrule the act of his will. Strategies of Satan attacks through human personalities. Another way that Satan attacks you is through human personalities. Satan can use people around you to attack you spiritually. The attack may be from family, friends, enemies, business associates, or even strangers. Human personalities can be disguised as angels of light, apostles, and ministers of righteousness, but Satan actually is working through them. We find in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 16, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself was transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The strategy of transference of spirits has already been covered in a previous chapter, but Satan also has other ways of using human personalities, and Satan will use people to give you wrong counsel. Read the book of Job and note the wrong counsel given by his friends and his wife. Prophecy is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but Satan also has his prophets. Personal prophecies through human personalities are not always God-inspired. Study the tragic example of this in 1 Kings chapter 13. Attacks of Satan will come through trusted friends as well as enemies or unbelievers. In Psalms 55, verses 12 through 14, it says, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked unto the house of God in company. So Satan uses human personalities to exalt you and to tempt you to take God's glory for yourself. And in Acts chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, it says, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God, it is not a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. So people are used by Satan to get you to stray from the plan of God in your life. Read how Peter was used of Satan to attack Jesus in this way in Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 33. Satan will try to get your eyes on others instead of God. Peter was distracted from God's plan by concern with what he had planned for John in John 21, 20 through 23. Satan will tempt you to emulation, which is a work of the flesh, according to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Emulations is trying to imitate, equal, or excel others, to copy, rival, or compete with them. As long as you are busy doing this, you will not follow the pattern of ministry that God has for your own life. Satan will use people to deceive you. Read how this happened in Joshua, which is Joshua chapter 9. People will desert you, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Also, the book of Acts chapter 15, verses 37 through 38. In John chapter 6, verse 66, Satan will try to hinder your spiritual objectives in relation to others, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 18, and will cause confusion and disharmony, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, and James chapter 3, verse 16. Satan will also use others to affect the circumstances in your life. Read how this happened to Joseph in Genesis chapter 37 and 39. Spiritual counter strategies, victory over human personalities. In a previous chapter on transferring of spirits, the importance of carefully selecting friends and associates was stressed. This is an important counter strategy in gaining victory over the attacks of Satan launched through others. Choosing close associates carefully will eliminate much deception, desertion, disagreement, wrong counsel, and hindering of spiritual progress. But two other important strategies concerning will bring victory over the human personalities. First one is to obey God rather than men. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, it says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.' Second, we should follow others only as they follow God." In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even also as I am of Christ." In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God." So do not accept counsel or prophecies from anyone when they do not agree with God's written word. Do not admire or follow the leadership of those whose lives do not line up with God's word. Recognize that you will only be successful as long as you follow God's plan for your life. You'll not be successful in emulating others. You must not be diverted by those around you. You must rely on revelation, not imitation. Although those around you may manipulate circumstances that affect you, remember that God is still in control. Although Joseph experienced such an attack through human personalities, God turned it out for his good. In Genesis chapter 50 or 45, verses 8, it says, "For now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." And in Genesis 50, 20, it says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." So we also have strategies of Satan, which are attacks on the family. The family is the basic unit of society established by God in the beginning of the world when he first created man. God has always emphasized the family, and he raised up a nation of chosen people from the family of one man, Abraham. He selected the physical union of a man and his wife to describe the spiritual union between Christ and the church. Throughout the scriptures, God stressed the importance of the family in his plan of the ages. The family is the basic structure from which all other structures stem. Government, religious leaders are raised in families. Communities and nations consist of many families grouped together. Because of the importance of the basic unit of society, the family is a target for attack by Satan. Satan attacks the union between a man and his wife. He tries to cause improper sexual relationships, which will result in sin. 1 Corinthians 7:5. He leads men and women into sin of adultery. Galatians 5:19, and he tries to get one partner to influence the other to turn away from God. Job chapter 2. Satan promotes division in the home, and this can range from arguments through divorce, and Satan tries to bring division because he knows this. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 25, "Every kingdom divided itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided itself against itself shall not stand." If Satan can bring division, destroy the homes of a nation, he can eventually destroy the nation itself. God established a chain of command in the home. The man is to be the head of the home and love his wife. The wife is to follow his leadership, and the children are to be in submission to their parents, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, verse 1, and Satan also targets the man of the home and tempts him to act in unloving ways. The result is a loss of respect and obedience from the wife and children, and Satan also tempts the wife to act in rebellion against her husband. Satan targets the children in a home. He creates an atmosphere of lack of discipline, which results in rebellion. You want to read the story of Eli's sons in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and also read about David's son Absalom in 2 Timothy chapter 13, verse 19. Jesus warned of the attacks of the enemy on the home. In the book of Luke chapter 12, verses 52 to 53, it says, "For from henceforth there shall be five in one household divided, and three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." So spiritual counter strategies for victory in the family is what we want to discuss now. There are many problems in the family unit that can be avoided if believers would choose their mate properly. The Bible warns that believers are not to marry unbelievers. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" So when a family unit is composed of believers and unbelievers, spiritual division exists. This division is not a conflict between flesh and blood. It is a spiritual conflict, and it cannot be won by harsh words or through debate and argument. Satan fights the unity of the family because it's a natural parallel of the unity between Christ and the church. Believers must recognize this and declare, according to Joshua 24:15, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As heir to the promise of Abraham, you can also claim the promise, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And that's in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Because you're a spiritual heir of Abraham, your family will be blessed. To protect against Satan's attacks of Satan, the family must grow together spiritually. They must pray and study God's word, and that will bind the family together. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." So again, that was Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 through 9. So the family must be in a proper order before you assume leadership in ministry. New Testament requires for leadership are that the home of leaders be in order. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 3, wrong emphasis on ministry has resulted in division in many Christian homes. To defeat Satan's strategy in this area, the home must be in spiritual order before a believer engages in ministry leadership positions. Parents have a responsibility to discipline their children, and the home problems of Eli and David resulted because of a lack of discipline. The Bible instructs believers regarding this responsibility. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And in Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 24, it says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, and he that loveth him chastiseth him betimes early." So, strategies of Satan as far as financial attacks go. So let's discuss that now. Finances and material possessions of believers are areas that Satan targets for attack. His attacks are launched in two major areas. The first one, financial loss through no fault of the believer. This is a direct attack of Satan on the finances or material possessions of believers. And two, attacks on finances or material possessions through the violation of scriptural guidelines. The first type of attack is illustrated by the example of Job in chapters 1 and 2. Satan attacked Job's finances by destroying his herds, which was his business, and his home. The roof literally fell in. The Bible declares that Job was a righteous man, so we know that he was not in violation of scriptural principles. The second type of attack is illustrated by any violation of scriptural guidelines. Satan knows that if he can lead believers to violate biblical principles, their finances will not be blessed. Without material possessions and finances, they will not be able to support the spread of the gospel to the nations of the world. So you want to study the following references to discover how Satan attacks our finances. So first one is improper business partnerships with unbelievers, and you can read the verse in your book. Debt, co-signing for debts of others, withholding payment when funds are readily available, withholding tithes and offerings, dishonesty, fraud, unfair wages, greed, intemperance, violation of government laws regarding money, laziness, which results in poverty, get-rich-quick schemes, the love of money, business and financial situations creating weights, and regarding offers lightly and receiving inordinate funds for personal gain. So you can look up the scriptures for all of those in your book. Spiritual counter-strategies, victory in finances. Satan can attack the finances and material possessions of believers through no fault of their own. You read about the example in Job, in the book of Job, but remember that Satan did not touch the finances or possessions of Job without the permission of God. This was an attack permitted by God to try Job's faith because Job was faithful. God blessed him with more than he had in the beginning. When you experience financial difficulties through no fault of your own, you can be sure it's an attack launched by the enemy. If faith in God is maintained and you continue to govern your financial affairs according to scriptural principles, God's blessing of restoration will follow this temporary trial. So we find in the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 12, it said, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning." So if you're experiencing financial difficulties because of a violation of scriptural principles, then you must repent and correct the violation. You must dissolve partnerships with unbelievers. You must correct dishonesty, the violation of government laws. To counteract the strategies of Satan, you must refrain from fraud, unfair wages, greed, intemperance, and laziness. You should remove yourself from business and financial transactions which entangle and prevent you from being a good spiritual warrior, according to 2 Timothy 2:4. You should refuse get-rich-quick schemes, which are motivated by the love of money. You must trust in God rather than wealth, and you should refuse to co-sign debts of others and get out of debt yourself. If you're withholding offerings and tithes, you must correct this omission. If you are in a position where you receive offerings, you must not use them for personal gain or regard them lightly. When you give to God, you must give your tithes and offerings. So I'm going to go over these with you as well. And these are for restoring an attack of the enemy into your finances. And you can look up the verses in your book. First one, we need to be willing. It must become willingly. We must do so with a perfect heart when we seek God to turn this around. We must give freely, secretly, regularly, cheerfully, with simplicity, according to our income, according to our ability, and by the percentage of income. So if only by correcting these scriptural violations that you should overcome the attacks of Satan in the area of finances. So that's it for this lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-test, and I'll see you in the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.